Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
This is a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 4. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So several years ago, when I was on church staff, I came in for our church staff meeting, and there was a card at each place at the table where people were to sit. And I sat in my regular chair, and I looked down at my card, and my name was on the card. As the pastor came in and we started the staff meeting, he said, "Well, I see you've found your cards. I have to report tonight to the deacons how much the staff has pledged for our building campaign. And I've taken the liberty to fill out what I think you should give." Now, I got to tell you, I'm still angry about it. I was so taken aback by the arrogance of that act. And I was so embarrassed about it because there was no way on God's earth I could make that pledge. I went home at lunch and took my card and I showed it to Gail. And Gail's like the Incredible Hulk. She's never angry. And you don't want to make her angry. And when I showed her that card and the amount that was on it, the Incredible Hulk sat down with me for lunch. "What are you going to do about this?" she said. "This is crazy. Just tear it up," she said. I said, "I can't tear it up. He'll just fill in another one and give it to the deacons tonight." "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." After lunch, I went down to my office in the basement and wept. I wept because I was angry. I wept because this man had put a burden on me that I didn't ask for. I wept because I was embarrassed that I couldn't fulfill the obligation that was put before me. And then I prayed, "Lord, there is no way that I can meet this budget, this pledged amount. No way I can meet this pledged amount. So God, if you give me any extra money over the next 3 years, that extra money will go for this pledge. And I may get it and I may not get it, but Lord, I'm giving it to you as unselfishly as I can. I'm giving it to you." We live with a generous God. We live with a God who cares for us and loves us and is generous to us beyond measure, and shame on us because we live in scarcity. Shame on us because we tell God, thank you for all the blessings you've given us, but it's just not quite enough. Shame on us when we don't claim the faith that we say we have to do the things we need to do. When God is pouring out God's blessings upon us, and we choose to live in scarcity. But, Prosser, you don't understand. I live on a fixed income. So do I. We all live on a fixed income. Some of us have the ability to go make a little more money on the side doing certain things, but we all, at least we used to live on fixed incomes until credit cards came along. 40 years ago, you had a dream. 40 years ago, you said, let's be living stones to this community. Somewhere along the way, many of you were generous and you claimed the generosity of God. Now look at this. Look around. Go ahead, look. God's done this through you. So I want to challenge you in these next few months that we're together to not bring me conversations of scarcity. Instead, I want you to bring me conversations of generosity. Not what's the least I can do to get where I need to get, but what's the most I can do for the church? You cannot become what you used to be. And you cannot stay where you are accustomed to be. And Isaiah gives us the generous idea for this lifestyle we choose. Do not fear. Do not fear. And we say, but God, you don't understand. How silly is that? But God, you don't understand. I got two kids and a wife. There's no way I can make this pledge. God, you don't understand. Do not fear, Isaiah says to us. Originally, this message was to Israel living out of exile and God saying, I have redeemed you. You are my chosen people. I have poured out my blessings upon you. Wouldn't you have loved to have been part of the children of Israel leaving the exile in Egypt? Man, the Red Sea parted, they walked across, they were free. And somewhere, somebody began singing, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And 40 years later, you know in your heart, somewhere during those 40 years, somebody said, well, if a woman were leading us, we would be there by now. God says, do not fear. I have redeemed you. The message is now to all of us, not just Israel, but to all of us. Now, there are people in our world who are scared to death of Israel because they fear if they do anything to Israel, God will come down and smite them. God's chosen people. God's protecting Israel. Don't mess with Israel. God will smite you. There are also people in the world who now think America is God's chosen nation. But make no mistake, the people who follow Jesus Christ are God's chosen people. The promise was to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, I will make your descendants as many as the stars. The promise was not, I will make everybody just like you. The promise is, I will make your name among the stars beyond the universe. And for years and years and years, the nation of Israel has held on to that. But the Jesus people are now the holy nation. Does God love Israel? Yes. Does God love the United States of America? Yes. God also loves Iran and Russia and China. Not the nation, but the people in those places who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Make no mistake. God's love knows no bounds. And God has been making a way for God's people since the very beginning of creation. And Isaiah reiterates that over and over in these verses. Does God love Greystone? Yeah. I want you to hear these words. At Greystone, everyone is welcome. And at Greystone, everyone is affirmed. At Greystone, you are God's beloved creation. Wherever you are in life, wherever you are in faith, you are valued, you are loved, you belong. Man, you need to hold on to those words because they are generous beyond measure. And I know of churches right now who don't particularly care for our words of welcome. I know of churches right now who would say, if you are just like us, you can come and be a part. If you believe like we believe, you can come and be a part. Wherever you are in life and faith, you are valued and loved and you belong. Thanks be to God for churches like you who say generous words like that. Courage is the power of the mind to overcome fear. And I want to challenge you in these days that we are together to set fear aside. God is guiding. Also got to tell you, it's such a gift to be able to say, here's what I'm preaching about, and then hear a song about it. That's next Sunday. Lord have mercy. What a generous gift that is. God insists that Israel should not fear. God insists that Greystone should not fear. God insists that Jesus' people should not fear. The battle has already been won. Now, dreaming is not done. you dreamed some great dreams and you put feet to those generous dreams and you brought them to fruition, but the dreams are not done. In the days to come, I'm going to ask you to dream some great dreams again. Some of you will like that. Some of you will hate that. Two things that Baptists can't stand: change and the same old thing. My friend Ben McDay gave me that long ago, and I still give him credit for it. I'm going to ask you to dream great dreams again. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to listen to each other. We're going to dream some more great dreams. The capital campaign is not done. You're not done. But don't fear the future. The way may not be easy. The way has never been easy. When you look back over your history, there were bumps in the road. There were places where things stopped. There were places where things slowed down. There were places where things changed. And that's going to continue. But the words, "Do not be afraid, have no fear," those words are with us. Some biblical scholars say that "do not be afraid" is written in Scripture 365 times. So that every day of the year you can repeat that prayer in one phrase or another. I don't believe that, but some do. From the biblical scholarship that I tend to pay attention to, somewhere around 200 times, "do not fear" is woven through Scripture. So it must be important. The other thing that's written about in Scripture a lot is Christian stewardship. I wept because I could not meet that dadgum pledge. And so I said, "God, if there's any extra money that comes into our family over the next 3 years, it's yours." Now, I want to tell you, I don't know how God works. I just know that God works. I took my pledge card in that afternoon and I handed it in and I said, "I'm not happy about this. There's no way I can meet it. But here, share it with the deacons, whatever you need to do to make you feel good about you." That afternoon, a friend called me and said, "I am doing a series of articles on Sunday school growth. I'm wondering if you'd like to write for me." I said, "Yeah. What do you need? When do you need it?" She said, "I'm thinking I would like you to be the lead writer for the next year. Would you be open to doing that?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to do that." And then she said, "I'm going to pay you. Is that okay?" I said, "Sure." She said, I'm going to send you a contract and you'll see this number on the contract." And I said, "Thank you." And I hung up the phone and I wept. It was half of the pledge. Half of the pledge right there. The day I'd fussed and cussed about it. I don't know how God works. I just know that God works. A friend called me during those next 6 months and said, "Hey, our people want to have a revival." I went, "Oh, Lord." He said, "Would you be willing to come and preach revival?" I said, yeah. How long were we talking? Sunday to Wednesday, come and preach a revival for me. I said, okay, great. He said, and I'll either pay you a contracted fee or we can do a love offering. You decide how you want to do it. And I decided I wanted a love offering. I was doing this stuff on faith anyway. I thought I would faith it out and see what happened. And I got $2,000 more towards my pledge. And now God has my attention. Between another writing assignment, that revival, the year-long writing assignment, a couple of weddings, and a couple of well-planned funerals, Lord have mercy. I met my pledge early. I wrote the last check 12 months early, a year earlier than I had pledged it, or he had pledged it for me. I met my pledge. I took my final check into his office, and I said, this is my last check. I am paid in full. Don't ever do this to your staff again. God's generosity is all around us. And I tell you that story, number one, because it's true. Number two, because I was angry at the arrogance of this man, but I was really angry about the challenge of it. I was embarrassed because there was no way I could meet that pledge. And God said, Prosser, what are you whining about? So that brings me to today. I was 28 years old when I learned how to live into the generosity of God. And now I'm a little older than that. And I have continued to live in the generosity of God since then. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do while I'm here. Gail and I have talked about it and prayed over it. And I'm going to give back to you 10% of what you give to me. Whatever God decides to give to me through you, 10% of that is coming back to you as a church. And I want you to come by the church from time to time and check my giving record. Whoever's in charge of giving, come by and check my giving record and make sure I'm doing what I said I was going to do, because I'm going to. And if I'm going to live out of my generosity, guess what? I'm going to challenge you to do the same. I'm going to challenge you this morning to think about what you're giving, and I'm going to challenge you to give 1% more. I'm going to challenge you to give 1% more than what you're already giving. That means one less trip to Starbucks, one less Diet Coke from McDonald's, one less Mexican dinner. You see, it's really easy to be generous. It's really easy to be generous. So I'm going to challenge you as God challenges me. Pray together. thank you, God, for showing me over and over and over how generous you are. Not just with my money, but with my talents, with my opportunities. Thank you for your generous love upon us through Jesus the Christ. Forgive us when we whine. Forgive us when we don't see the goodness that is in front of us. Forgive us when we hold on too tightly instead of giving away so generously. Through Jesus the Christ, through the generosity of Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.